10 minutes after three, and I built the ark this morning to take the dog for a walk, and then decided it's best not to go out there.
Can I share the tweet that you sent me earlier today?
Oh, no. Well, you can't say that on the air.
As all, you know what?
I'll get fired.
Was breaking out. Let me see if I can find this.
Because you know what? It was a lovely morning. I had coffee with my husband on the deck. And then I'm like, I'm going to take the dog around the lake. Again, came down from putting my sneakers on, needed to start building an ark.
And Jordana said, Paul, can I please go for a blinking walk now, or is more rain coming?
Oh, boy.
And my response was, please stay in your flooded basement and remain calm.
But I didn't want
And then she said they don't make enough emojis.
Yeah, I do. Right,
there were emojis I haven't seen before.
They need expletive emojis, really,
they do.
For me. Yeah.
They've just for
so
you.
So I'm glad. I am glad, my friend, that it did clear up. It is gorgeous out now because I'm going to the Twins game tonight, and I cannot wait.
It's
very
been a
excited.
Jekyll and Hyde summer with these crazy storms, and we got about 0.7 inch of rain, still the second wettest to date. But if we get 40 inches of precip by the end of December, we'll break 2016's record for the wettest. And at the rate we're going, I think that could happen.
Not rooting for that.
Yeah.
So Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts was in Minnesota at an appearance at McAllister. This morning, she held a roundtable on the criminal justice reform here in Minneapolis. She's off to Los Angeles. But she got quite a response here in Minnesota. If you were there, join our Facebook Live. Post about what you thought about Senator Warren's visit here. Post away on Facebook Live. I know there were a lot of questions. I mean, she has a lot of plans, so she couldn't talk about everything. But one in particular that she did talk about was minimum wage. Minimum wage. She doesn't want. She says, I don't want to maximize profits for giant multinational corporations. I want corporations to work for our families. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I mean, Paul, that just speaks to everyone. That speaks to everyone. Elizabeth Warren, for me, she's the woman with the plan. She's got the health care. She's got the college. She's got the criminal justice reform. She's got a lot going on.
She talked about rebuilding the middle class. She talked about her own parents' financial struggles when she was a kid, which I think really helped to mold who she is today.
And it's very relatable. Oh, it's very relatable. Even if you're a successful person, somebody growing up or somebody you know wasn't always that way.
What stood out to me a couple of months ago, I saw some polling from West Virginia, and Trump supporters actually tend to like Elizabeth Warren.
Well, that's shocking. Because you sure that's not fake news?
No, she's focused on how do we lift more people up? How do we make sure more people succeed? You know, a rising tide should lift all boats,
right.
And that isn't happening right now. She attracted 12,000 people to McAllister yesterday.
And was it the Strib who called her out?
Yeah, well the Star Tribune, it was a little snarky. They said, sincere question, could Senator Amy Klobuchar draw 12,000 in Minnesota?
I don't know. Could she?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's a little unfair, the framing. If Senator Klobuchar went to Massachusetts, could she draw 12,000? Possibly, very likely. But the fact that Elizabeth Warren isn't here very often.
She's not.
So, of course, she's going to attract a bigger crowd when she does show up.
That's a good point. And I appreciate you bringing that up. So interesting day. And that was one of our top trending stories today. The other trender, and I think it really plays off what Elizabeth Warren said about multinational corporations, is this new business roundtable. I read a little bit about this last night, and it came out today. It was in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. Businesses are changing the way, I guess, their mission statements are prepared.
Yeah, with all this talk of socialism, income inequality, you know, is it time for a reset for capitalism? You know?
Is it?
And, well, more and more CEOs seem to believe that the answer is yes. 181 American CEOs in this business roundtable issued a statement that changed the purpose of a corporation from simply providing a return to shareholders to benefiting many stakeholders, including customers, employees, suppliers, communities, dealing fairly and ethically with suppliers, supporting the communities in which we work, generating long-term value for shareholders. So we'll see if it's PR or if there's any there, if there's meat to this and it really sticks. But I think a lot of people increasingly, including many well-compensated CEOs, are realizing that what we have now is not working for enough people.
This is very exciting to me. Because I believe, personally, corporate responsibility goes more than just your stakeholders, as it should. Corporations once took care of people, its employees. That's even how I believe them offering health care benefits began, as an incentive for employees to take care of their employees. And we have strayed so far from a corporation being there for its employees and not serving just the shareholders, that I only hope they walk the walk on this. I hope the tide is turning. I hope people are listening to people who want to buy things from socially responsible corporations. I think this is an awakening, and they do see a shift. If this is real, it's a real shift in corporate consciousness. In fact, we're going to have guests talk about this at 4:20.
At 4:20, 64%, 2 out of 3 Americans say a company's primary purpose should be making the world better.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Yeah, of course, you need to make money to mm-hmm. sustain a company, to grow a company. But can we go above and beyond? Capitalism 2.0?
And can we take care of the employees, too? Yes, the shareholders. Yes, have to make money. Yes, great for the world. But the people that are making the company run. For me, it always goes back to the workers.
41% of Fortune 500 CEOs say solving social problems should be part of their core business strategy. Young people today, it's not enough to have a good product or a good service. Mm-hmm. They want to know, how are you making the world better?
Philanthropy.
Period.
Inequality. So I get it. So we're going to talk more about that at 4:20 with a guest and delve a little deeper into that. Again, it's just come out, not a thing yet, but we're hoping that it sticks.
Everything else is being disrupted. You know, is capitalism itself? Are the markets mm-hmm. being disrupted in terms of young people's expectations? So it's not 1958 anymore. I mean, people have different expectations of what they want companies to be and what they want companies to do and stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, my friend,
that's right,
Representative Jim Nash in St. Paul joins us with some breaking news.
This is also another statement about corporate responsibility.
Yes.
There was a press conference earlier this morning about housing affordability. The Housing Affordability Institute released a study on municipalities' building permit reports and activity. I know that's a lot of big words, and we weren't exactly sure what it all meant to us. But Jim Nash did tell Paul Douglas that this could have cost, some oversights could have cost Minnesota cities $90 million in fees. So Jim Nash, Representative Jim Nash, is joining us on the line now to shake out this new reporting. Representative Nash, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, good afternoon. And let me get the number right. Okay. It's closer to $80 million. It's $78 million. And not that it cost cities something, but cities overcharged on building permit fees to people who bought houses in their communities.
And Representative, can you back up and talk how this applies to affordable housing and why every listener should be zeroed in on this and be concerned about this?
Yeah, so how does this apply to affordable housing for people around the state? What we're seeing is that municipalities, and there are some examples in the report that was put out by the Housing Affordability Institute, it can be downloaded from their webpage. And there's an example of the city of Corcoran. And the city of Corcoran charged in the neighborhood of $3,000 more for a housing permit than they really should have. State statute that is defined very clearly says that statute 1300.0160, for all of you following at home, says that fees commensurate with service, fees established by the municipality must be legal means, be fair, reasonable, and proportionate to the actual cost. So what does that mean? That means that a permit fee really should be a pass-through once they put on the staff time and overhead and that it should be, what does it take the building inspector to inspect the home plus the staff time?
But Representative Nash, was the city of Corcoran trying to screw the people of Corcoran or anybody who wanted to build in Corcoran?
Well, I'm not going to use the word city of Corcoran trying to screw people, but they certainly overcharged them. And they overcharged them and then went on to use that money to make city hall improvements and acknowledged that they funded a portion of that city hall improvement with overage from permit fees. And if you're truly going to be transparent, which is what we want government to be, we want them to say, hey, if Paul, you've just built a new house in, pick a place, Waconia, and your permit fee from the third-party permit inspector folks that are out there is $1,400, we're going to put, pick a number, $100 of staff time from the city of Waconia on top of that, and that's what you pay. But what happened in Corcoran and in some other cities as well, that's not what turned out. So they put thousands of dollars over and above. And what they're doing is they're making, I hate the word slush fund, but they're making a slush fund to build things like an improvement to City Hall or other things that they may wish to, that realistically, and this is as a former mayor, you guys might remember that, as a former mayor, we would put important projects into a thing called a CIP plan, the Capital Improvement Plan. And we would say, hey, we need to make some improvements to City Hall. It's going to cost about this much money.
Mm-hmm.
We need to begin accruing that money. And the way we accrue money is through the levy. And we vote on the levy. We propose the preliminary levy in September. We have meetings that are open to the public. We then have the final levy in December. And before that meeting, we have a thing called the Truth and Taxation meeting, or whatever they're calling it today. It's when the public can come and ask questions about anything they want. It could be, hey, why are you painting fire hydrants? It could be that benign. Or it could be, why are you spending millions of dollars on improving City Hall?
But there needs to be transparency and full accountability for all that money. Jim, will you hang on? We need to take a break, but we want to keep this conversation going here through at least the bottom of the hour.
Only if Jordana only calls me Jim.
Okay, Representative Nash, I will.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Thank you, sir.
Bye. I'm blown away by this.
Well, yeah, and I'm angry. I'm irritated.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Minnesotans have reason to be irritated. Representative Jim Nash, thank you for joining us on CCO to talk
Absolutely.
About this. $78 million in overages, right?
That's correct. Overcharges, meaning they cover the cost of the permit, they cover the cost of the staff time, and over and above.
So my assumption is Corcoran is not an anomaly. How many cities are involved, and what recourse do homeowners have who may have paid $1,000 or more
extra
to build a home?
Well, here's a list from the study of some of the top cities listed by overage. Woodbury, 13 plus million. Edina, 12 million. Plymouth, 11 million. Minnetonka, 8 million. Shakopee, 4 million. St. Louis Park, 4 million. Lakeville, 3.8 million. Lake Elmo, 3.2 million. Golden Valley, 3.2 million. Buffalo, 2.8 million.
Wow. So this was widespread. This is just a thing that cities do to make more money.
So cities, they're required to report information to the Department of Labor and Industry, and some of those reports have been straggling in, but the folks that generated this report went and got this information from these municipalities because it's public information.
Sure.
And what they found, these are my words, it's eye-popping. And as a former mayor of a city that we went above and beyond. So when I was mayor, we changed building inspection officials, and we talked through, okay, how are we going to do this? And we said, we want to know what you guys are charging, and then we put the staff time on top of that, because you have to do that. Cities expend effort to make sure things are being tracked and read off on and all that. So there's staff time that goes to that. But this is way, way, way over and above. And you know, we've got further information that I can forward on to you later of letters and such that would go out to the people in Corcoran that said, hey, we're paying for City Hall with building permit fee overages, so you don't have to put it on your taxes. That's what,
really?
What is that saying is that the people who move into these cities are front-loading improvements. And here's a really important metric that I think your listeners are going to want to hear. So for every $1,000 home increase, so let's say The average house price, I think, is like $330,000 right now metro-wide. But let's say it's $331,000. It's going to take 4,000 buyers out of play. So if you've got 3,000 in overages, you're talking 12,000 people that are now out of play that can't afford to buy a house. And that $3,000 increase, if they roll it into their mortgage, they're going to be paying double the money on that. So it'll be essentially they're going to pay $6,000. And it's going to go into their assessment for their property tax valuation. So this is something that I am concerned about. After the press conference today, I had the pleasure of talking with State Auditor Julie Blaha and Legislative Auditor Jim Nobles. Both of them said that this is concerning. Both of them said that this is something that needs to get looked at. And I think, Jordana, it was your question, or maybe Paul, it was yours. What do they do? What do people at home that have paid this do?
If you think that you've overpaid, how do you know if you've overpaid?
I think that if your listeners want to download this report, we can get you the URL to what that is, and we can send it over to your producer, and you guys can maybe put it in the...
You can get that on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
I'll get that over to your producer. Mm-hmm. But here's what I called for at the press conference. I called for a refund. So certainly not saying that they should get their permit, the true permit fee back, because that's something was actually done for that that correct fee. But the overage should be paid back.
Absolutely.
I don't know how that's going to be done. And I think that that's something that city leaders and people who live in these cities and in any city, they should be willing to answer the question, and they should be open to a possible piece of criticism. Because in my role as state representative, in my role as mayor, and a role as city council member, I was always happy to be held accountable. People come up and say, hey, Jim, you guys decided to do this with taxes. Tell me why. Mm-hmm. They should have the same freedom to walk up to a city council member or a mayor in one of these cities and say, please help me understand how this city has decided to charge me way more for my permit than I should actually be paying if the rule states that it should essentially be a pass-through.
Representative Nash, we have about 20 seconds left. Do us a favor and connect the dots as this pertains to affordable housing. Why is this important?
Well, it takes Minnesota out of the game of affordable housing. There was a study that showed that Minnesota, from a housing leadership position, was one or two nationwide, and we've fallen to 25th. And I can forward that on to you guys as well.
You're tacking on thousands of dollars of fees right up front to even be able to buy or build.
Totally. And, you know, you guys were talking about corporate responsibility before I came on the air, Jordana. This is about municipal corporate responsibility. They should not be overcharging for something that by rule is supposed to be a pass-through. And my question is, what's going to happen? And there should be a point where answers are given. And I think in a press conference, I called it a reckoning. And, you know, that sounds scary, but you need to say, hey, show, you know, I was talking to the state auditor, and she's a former math teacher. I said, how many times did you write on a test, show me your work, show me the math, how did you get to this?
Right, right.
People should be willing, able, and comfortable in asking their elected officials, tell me how you came and arrived at this price for my permit fee. And if it's over and above, I'd like it back, please.
I know you won't say it, but I'll say it. They got screwed, and we're grateful that you and Batsy, I know the affordable housing, they're called something else now.
They're called Housing First, but Housing First. The Builders Association of the Twin Cities. But yeah.
You brought this to our attention because people need
Good
to know.
Grief.
They do need to know, and I appreciate you allowing us to come on the air today, and we will forward over to your producer some of the pertinent information and the URL to download the study.
We'll get that on our Facebook page as quickly as possible. Representative Nash, thank you for joining us today on CCO.
Yeah, it's great to hear him. Go ahead.
And as always, I look forward to the next time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
But you know what it is, Jure. It's OPM.
Other people's money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to take other people's money. It's easy to spend other people's money.
Yeah.
That's right.
When it's not your own.
Yeah. Boy, you don't hear about this every day, but $78 million that should be returned to people of Corcoran, of Golden Valley, of all of the places that he listed.
So we'll get that on our website and then let listeners take it from there.
Wow.
All right.
There is a new national crisis hotline, or soon to be a new national crisis hotline for suicide. I'll tell you what it is next.
Paul and Jordana, hope your Tuesday is going well. Hope you've dried out. It's safe to come out of the basement now.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
Just barely. President Trump is tweeting about the need for the Fed to drop interest rates 100 basis points. Oh. One full percentage point is what the president wants, which could supercharge the economy.
It could.
A lot of people throwing around the R word,
recession.
Which, again, my concern is that it becomes self-fulfilling prophecy. But media reporting that a potential payroll tax cut, along with a rollback on trade tariffs, are under consideration in a new white paper as officials in the White House consider several options to ward off a recession. The president insists that the economy is in good shape and that too many people are overreacting. I'm just going to squeeze this in, Jor, real quick. China rising. The U.S. military is not the primary force anymore in Asia. And listen to this. It would struggle to defend its allies against the Chinese. This sobering assessment comes in a new report that claims missiles from China's rapidly improving military would overwhelm U.S. bases in the region in just a few hours.
Well, that's very depressing.
It is depressing. So Japan, Australia, other U.S. partners need to bolster their forces in the region, said the report from the United States Study Center at Australia's University of Sydney. A spokesman for China's foreign ministry said the country's military policy is, quote, defensive in nature.
Well, some of my other stories are more uplifting. Like,
good. We need to balance things out.
Maddie Frecking at the Little League World Series. But I do want to tell you this. You know, suicides have been have increased more than 30% in the past two decades. Now the U.S. government is creating a three-digit number for suicide help. You know, like you have 911 if there's an emergency.
Right.
You probably call 311 on your phone. Maybe if there's an emergency or phone help, whatever that is. The number is going to be 988. There's currently a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. I think a rapper made a song about this and won an Oscar or a Grammy for it. The 800-273-TALK, 8255. That's the National Suicide Hotline.
Huh.
But that doesn't roll off the tongue.
Right.
So 988 is going to be the National Crisis Hotline that they're saying that if you are feeling like you're in trouble or if you know somebody that's struggling in that moment, you can just call that number and you can get immediate
That's
help.
A great idea.
Yeah, so that's coming.
Holy cow.
And unfortunately, Little League World Series is over for our kids from Coon Rapids and Anoka.
But you know what? Maddie inspired countless little girls and their parents.
She did. That's right. And little boys and other people.
Yep.
And she was fantastic. And if you guys are listening, Maddie, if you're on your way back, we want to have you out at the fair. Maddie's parents, we want to have you out at the fair. Our producer David's going to be reaching out soon.
Twitter removed 936 accounts, Jor, that it determined were part of a Beijing-backed disinformation campaign.
Good. Good for
Not
you,
just
Twitter.
The Russians.
Good.
It's the Chinese now getting in on the act and using social media.
China. Can the Chinese have Twitter?
I guess so. They're abusing it. So.
Or the ones at Hong Kong have Twitter, and then China came in through the back end and started to, I don't know, something like that.
That's a great question.
Yeah, because I don't think regular folks in China can have Twitter.
But they basically, these dummy accounts, these fake accounts were set up on Twitter to drum up sentiment against the Hong Kong pro-democracy protesters. Tipped off by Twitter, Facebook removed five accounts, seven pages, and three groups that it associated with the, quote, coordinated inauthentic behavior coming from China. So again, is it real? Is it really happening? Or
is it just the Chinese government?
Is this fake? Yeah.
All right. In China, Facebook was blocked following the 2009 rule where independence activists were using Facebook as part of their communications network. So that Facebook is blocked there. And then the Chinese Twitter is, I guess, a site called Sina Weibo. Sina Weibo had 56% of China's microblogging market based on active users.
But they can sign up on our Twitter.
That's what I don't know. I wonder if the Chinese government has banned Twitter in China. Censorship of Twitter. Okay. I'll have to. Chinese people. That's right. Twitter is blocked in China. However, many Chinese people circumvent the block to use it somehow. But yeah, it's blocked in Twitter. So basically, the Chinese government, we're using it for the folks in Hong Kong because Hong Kong, they could have it.
Right.
So crazy stuff, right?
It is.
Absolutely crazy. Sorry, have I gone on way too long?
No.
Sharks in Cape Cod. This is why I don't swim in the ocean. We used to go to the Jersey Shore. I used to swim in the ocean. We swam in Miami Beach with my grandparents. But oh my gosh, there's sharks in Cape Cod that are devouring gray seals and, quote, putting swimmers on edge. You think a little bit on edge, you think? They're devouring the seals. You know what, folks? To you or to the shark, you look like a gray seal. I mean, maybe a white, more bloated one, but or whatever color you are, but you look like a gray seal to a shark. I don't necessarily think that they know the difference. Oh, it's a person, so I'm not going to devour it. I think if you look like a gray seal, and you do, underwater, they're coming for you too. Shark sightings have been a regular occurrence this summer on the sandy beaches of Cape Cod. Brochures distributed on the beaches urge visitors to be shark smart. What? Don't be delicious, right? Don't be food. How do you be shark smart? You stay out of the water. Be shark smart. Craziness.
What are you supposed to wear? Protective armor?
This is why I'm so glad we have lakes. I'm so...
Like one of those knights, you know, a knight in shining armor?
I'm so
That's
glad.
How I would get on my surfboard.
Anyone who goes in the water off Cape Cod now deserves to get eaten.
Why are we getting more shark sightings? I know the water is consistently warmer. And so I don't know if it's the warmer water or other smaller fish that are bringing the sharks closer in. They were swimming around not that far from Manhattan. They were in Long Island Sound.
That's right. That's right. And the great whites,
crazy.
Like 6 to 18 feet long. Can you imagine 18 feet?
No.
They say they're part of everyday life in the Northeast. Yeah, everyday beach life in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I'm never moving home.
Huh. No.
Never.
No. By the way, it's going to be 117 in Palm Springs tomorrow. Air temperature.
But it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. My oven's a dry heat, but I don't stick my head inside. Paul Majors is going to join us at 5:35.
That'll be fun.
Because just how do people survive out there in the summer in the desert? What do you do? I'm sure they've got tricks. They must have tricks. So we'll hear from him.
But there's no sharks.
There are no sharks.
Sharks in the desert.
Well, they all dried up, blew
shark.
Away. Paul and Jordana pondering the future of capitalism.
Yeah, we're going to solve all the world's problems here on the show.
You know, look, a lot of people, especially Democrats, mm-hmm. some of them on the far left, mm-hmm. Are very intrigued by socialism.
That's right. Right?
Medicare for all,
mm-hmm.
universal living wage.
That's true. I think the socialism that they think about, like Russian socialism or Chinese socialism, is a little bit different than the socialism that would happen in our country, not communism.
Do you think it could ever happen here? We become
not to
Finland?
That extent. I don't think to that extent. I don't think so because no.
And why are they thinking this? Because not enough people are doing well.
Well, that's
a small
right.
percentage are doing really, really well. We follow up this conversation, Capitalism 2.0, next hour.